Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. And we ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds now by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear what it is you have to say to us. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Please stand in honor of God's word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Tears, tiny messengers. Throughout Lent, we have been looking at stories in Scripture about people who wept. We started with talking about the psalm where it speaks of God knowing all of our tears, that he stores them in a bottle. And then we spoke of tears of forgiveness, tears of lost dreams, tears of anointing, tears of love, tears for the lost, tears of denial. And today, tears turned to joy. There was a little boy who was getting ready for church on Easter Sunday morning. And he wasn't very happy about having to go to church. His new shoes were too tight. He didn't like the suit. The tie was up around his neck. And his parents were trying to get him out the door. And they could hear him in the back seat say, mumbling to himself, "I don't know why we're going. It's the same story, and we all know the ending." Well, we all do know the ending. It is the same story. But it is the most powerful story ever told. We meet Mary Magdalene today early in the morning while it is still dark outside as she comes to the tomb. We can only imagine how startled she was when she arrives and sees that that stone has been moved. Tombs in ancient times didn't have doors on them, but they had a huge boulder, kind of like a cartwheel, and there were grooves, and they kind of rolled that down in front of the opening. Matthew's gospel tells us that the authorities actually sealed it shut. Well, she runs to the two disciples because she is so frightened she cannot understand what has happened, that where is he? The tomb, the stone has been rolled. And she runs to tell Peter and John that someone has taken the Lord from the tomb. And they run together to the tomb. John outruns Peter. He gets there first. He takes a look in. And then there's good old Peter. You can imagine bold Peter just kind of pushing his way. And he goes right into the tomb. And when he gets there, he sees the clothes are lying there. And he sees how the piece that was on Jesus' head is rolled neatly. And then John 2 enters, and John enters, and he sees, and he believes. There's some things to note here. Everything was neat. If somebody had stolen Jesus' body, things would have been in disarray. If a robber comes into your house, he doesn't neatly put the drawers back in place, does he? No, it's a mess. And if they wanted to steal his body, they weren't going to sit there and fold things up and make sure things looked neat. But what it appeared to be was that Jesus like evaporated out of the linen clothes. Mary returns then to the tomb. The disciples have already left. They've gone back home. And she stands there and she weeps and weeps. There is a deep love in her heart for Jesus. Remember, Jesus had touched her life greatly. She was demon-possessed. She had 7 demons. I can't imagine being troubled by one, but imagine 7 demons. We could imagine how she was tortured mentally, how she was tortured spiritually. One could only imagine what her life would have been like before Jesus. And then Jesus heals her, and she is forever grateful. Her love for her master is beyond comprehension. Her devotion is unfailing. Her love and her compassion and her care are unmistakable. Mary is forever grateful. And so she stands there and she weeps. She is heartbroken. And she weeps and weeps that her master had not only died, but somebody has played a cruel joke. Somebody has taken his body, and no one knows where. And as she weeps, we can only imagine all the thoughts that are racing through her head. She has to take a look for herself. And so she too goes inside the tomb. And when she peers into that tomb, she sees 2 angels sitting there in white robes, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus' body would have been lying. Needless to say, I'm sure she was quite startled when she saw that sight. If any of us saw an angel appear to us in white, we would be quite startled, let alone in this tomb where Jesus' body was, and there are these 2 angels that now appear. And she asks them, after they talk to her, they want to know, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And she again asks and repeats, you know, where have you taken him? Where is he? She didn't know where they put him. And when she turns around, Jesus is standing there, but she doesn't recognize him. Now, perhaps her tears made her eyes blurry, but she was probably so overwhelmed and confused. Her mind was on, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Where is this body that was here? I don't know about you, but there's times when my mind's on something, and I can walk right by somebody and not even know, in a grocery store or wherever, we can get our mind so focused on one thing that we don't see people. And so her mind is so focused on where is his body that when Jesus is there, she doesn't recognize him initially. She thinks he's the gardener. And he too asks why she is crying. And who's she looking for? She's so crushed, so confused. And she asks him if he removed Jesus. And if he did, tell me where you put him so I can go get him. But it's then that Jesus says to her, Mary. Maybe it was the familiar ring to her name. Maybe it was the way he said her name when he removed all of those demons from her life. Because when Jesus calls her name, it is an instant recognition. And we could only imagine the joy that flooded her body. Master. And we could see why she would want to cling on to him. But he tells her to go tell those disciples. Tell them, I am going to ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Jesus lets her know that through his resurrection, he has made the connection. Sin had separated the people of God from God Almighty. But Jesus' death and ultimate resurrection on that cross bridged the gap. It is now our Father, our God. In his book, Jesus Among Other Gods, Rabbi Zacharias tells a story about a girl who hopelessly was lost in a dark and dense forest. She called and screamed, but to no avail. Her alarmed parents and a group of volunteers searched frantically for her, and when darkness fell, they had to give up for the night. Early the next morning, the girl's father re-entered the forest to search for her, and he spied her fast asleep on a rock. He called her name, and he ran toward her, startled her awake. She threw her arms out to him, and as he picked her up and hugged her, she repeated over and over again, Daddy, I found you. Daddy, I found you. Daddy, I found you. Applying that story to Mary Magdalene's story and her search for Jesus, Rabbi Zacharias comments, many discovered the most startling truth of all. When she came, Mary discovered the most startling thing of all. When she came looking for the body of Jesus, she did not realize that the person she had found was the one who was risen and that he had come looking for her. We can only picture the thrill of her heart and the joy in her footsteps as she runs back to tell the disciples. Her feet probably didn't even hit the ground. You could imagine the thrill and the excitement. Sandy Patty years ago sang that wonderful song, was it a morning like this? And there's that refrain in that song that she sings. Did the grass sing? Did the earth rejoice to feel you again? Over and over, like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to pound. He is risen. Over and over in a never-ending round, he is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You could imagine It probably felt like the earth was pounding, that there were trumpets underground. He is risen. He is risen. You can imagine her running and running and the earth feeling like it was pounding and her body thrilled with excitement. We too, like Mary, can say, I have seen the Lord. I know him. He is my Lord and Savior. Then our tears can certainly be turned to joy as well. A man and his 5-year-old son were driving past a cemetery and noticed a large pile of dirt next to a freshly dug grave when the little boy said, Look, Dad, one got out. Dear friends, we rejoice today because one did get out. The grave could not hold Jesus Christ. And that assures us of two things. When we confess our need for Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives, all of the heartaches and tears and pain that we experience in this life can be traded in for incredible joy. Incredible joy. Because we can have joy amidst all of the struggles and pains in this life because Jesus Christ is alive and walks with us. For we can boldly proclaim, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And not only that, but when we take our last earthly breath, we enter into the joy of his presence in heaven, where there is no more mourning, no more crying, no more tears. Hallelujah. What a day that will be. Can you imagine all the pain, all the suffering that you've experienced in this life? It'll be gone in a flash when you breathe your last breath, when you have faith in Jesus Christ, because he ushers you into heaven eternal, where there is nothing but joy, nothing but incredible joy. And secondly, when we grieve the deep, deep loss of a loved one, we can grieve with hope. Hope that through faith in Jesus, we will see our loved one again. There will be a grand reunion. In 24 years as a pastor and 2 years as a student pastor, I can tell you over and over again, story after story, when I'm at a funeral home or I'm in the church preparing for the funeral and the family is there, and there can be families that have tears running down their faces, but yet they can laugh and smile at the same time. It is because they know amidst the deep, deep, heavy loss that they are feeling, there is joy because there will be a grand reunion one day. That is our hope. That is the Easter hope. Amidst the joy, the sorrow, and the deep sense of loss, there is incredible joy. The scriptures tell us, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Bob Russell, who was here last summer, shared that years ago they had a singing group at their church called Regeneration. They thrilled the church, and during the concert, the leader, Derek Johnson, told one of Bob's favorite stories. When his daughter was 5 years old, they had a devotional every night before she went to bed. And one night the devotional was about heaven and how wonderful it would be. And after it was over, his daughter asked, Daddy, will there be a lot of people in heaven? He said, Oh, yes, the Bible says there will be so many people in heaven, we can't even count them. That troubled her. Then she asked a question that revealed why. How will I ever find you and mommy when I get to heaven? Derek recalled she had once got separated from her mother in a supermarket, and that experience had terrified her. He said he wanted to give her an answer that she could understand and relieve her stress. He said, I'll tell you what, let's all meet as a family just inside the gate. She asked, Is there just one gate? And he remembered that Revelation says there are 12 gates in the New Jerusalem. And so he said, well, there are 12 gates in heaven. She asked, which gate? He said, tell you what, when you get to heaven, you ask someone which way is east. You walk until you come to the eastern wall, and let's all meet just inside the middle eastern gate. That satisfied her, and he kissed her goodnight and whispered, remember, meet you just inside. And she quickly said, the middle eastern gate. From that time on, they hardly ever said goodbye to one another. One would say, meet you just inside, and the other would respond, the middle eastern gate. He turned to one of the young women in the singing group that night, and he asked, is that story true? And she beamed and nodded, sure is. He asked, how do you know? And she said, I was that little girl. And he said, their congregation exploded in applause, and Derek winked at her and quipped, meet you just inside. And she, of course, responded, the Middle Eastern Gate. And Bob said, I didn't hear much of the next song. I was planning where I was going to meet my loved ones one day, just inside the gate. And he said, you may think that's fanciful. I don't, because the Bible says God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I am grateful that Jesus Christ gives me every reason to celebrate as he turns my tears to joy every day. Are you grateful? Are you grateful that Jesus Christ can turn your tears into joy every day? And then on that final day on earth, when you breathe your last, and he will turn everything into incredible joy. Well, Derek Johnson also told the story of his little girl, JC. When JC, the last of their five children, was 4 years old, he said, I saw her kneeling at our glass-topped coffee table. I suppose she was looking down at wedding pictures or a Disney memory book, but I smiled and asked anyway, what are you doing? She paused and looked up before simply saying, JC prays. That seemed to be too good an opportunity to pass up, so I said, can I pray with you? Yeah, was her one-word reply. I knelt beside her and I asked, do you want Daddy to pray or do you want to pray? Full of confidence, she answered, JC prays. She folded her hands and closed her eyes. Then she turned her head and looked up at me and admonished, close your eyes. I do confess that I was staring down at her with love and wonder. After all, Jesus said, watch and pray, and I was fulfilling his command. So with my hands dutifully folded, I bowed my head and closed my eyes. And this is what I heard. Dear Jesus, thank you. Amen. I looked down and said, that's it? JC looked up at me and said, that's enough. Derek said, those five words moved me to tears. I went upstairs to my office, got on my knees, and spent the next 30 minutes just saying, dear Jesus, thank you. Dear Jesus, thank you. And so this morning, as we realize how blessed we are to know the Lord, who can turn our tears into great joy, let us pray JC's prayer together. Five simple words that should move your heart deeply. Dear Jesus, thank you. Amen. Now say it again, only this time, as JC would say, close your eyes. Dear Jesus, thank you. Amen. That's enough. For he is risen. He has risen indeed. Thanks be to God.